Manuscript Releases, Volume 4, Numbers 210 to 259. MR, Number 210. Working Among the Colored People. There is a great work to be done in the southern field. This is one of the barren places of the earth to be worked. It is more difficult to labor for the people in the south than it is to labor for the heathen in a foreign land, because of the prejudice existing against the colored people. Medical missions should be opened as pioneer agencies to prepare the way for the proclamation of the third angel's message in the cities of the South. Industries can be started both in and out of the cities. There should be schools for the education of the colored people, as well as schools for the whites. In all these institutions, the white people should work for the whites, and the colored people for their own race. It may be found advisable for experienced white laborers to train those of our colored brethren and sisters who desire to work for their own people. How much self-denial will our institutions manifest in binding about their imaginary wants? Will they continue to spread themselves and obtain more and still more conveniences for their better accommodation, while the means to be expended for the downtrodden colored race is so little and meager? Here are your neighbors, poor, beaten, oppressed. Thousands of human beings suffering for the want of educational advantages. Many, so many, who need to hear the gospel preached in its purity. Men of ability are willing to work for a meager sum, $2 or $3 a week, to sustain their families. They have souls as precious as those of the men who, because of their selfishness and covetousness, received $30 a week. Will those who have an abundance put their hands into their pockets, and out of their plentiful supplies, impart something to furnish their neighbors with facilities? Will they make provision to help men to do the work they can do for a few dollars a week? Most earnest work should have been done many years ago. There might have been an altogether different presentation from what we now see. We have been eating of the large loaf and have left the suffering, distressed people of the southern regions starving for education, starving for spiritual advantages. By your actions, you have said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" The colored people might have been helped with much better prospects of success years ago than now. The work is now tenfold harder than it would have been then. But who will continue to dishonor God by their indolence, by their neglect, by passing by on the other side? Do not, I beseech you, look upon the hard field, groan a little, set two or three at work in one locality, a few in another, and provide them only enough for the bare necessaries of life. Those who labor in the southern field will have to stand amid the most discouraging, hopeless poverty. In the past, some attempts have been made to present the truth to the colored people, but those among the white people who claim to believe the truth have wanted to build a high partition between themselves and the colored race. We have one Savior who died for the black man as well as for the white. Those who possess the Spirit of Christ will have pity and love for all who know not the precious Savior. They will labor to the utmost of their ability to wipe away the reproach of ignorance from white and black alike. I think I could furnish Edson with matter just such as would meet the necessities of the southern field. This neglected field has been presented before me in its sinfulness and degradation because of the treatment received from the whites. I can give them that which would reach them in their ignorance and help to uplift their thoughts. The hand of God is to be stretched out for the poor, degraded race. Men and women are sent to far-off lands among heathen savages to labor at great expense and often at the sacrifice of their lives. But here are heathen at our very doors. The nation of slaves who were treated as if they had no souls but were under the control of their masters were emancipated at immense cost of life on both sides, the North seeking to restrict, the South to perpetuate and extend slavery. After the war, if the Northern people had made the South a real missionary field, if they had not left the Negroes to ruin through poverty and ignorance, thousands of souls would have been brought to Christ. But it was an unpromising field, and the Catholics have been more active in it than any other class. Have you confidence that the work Edson is now engaged in is a good work and that God is working with his efforts? If so, encourage him with the assurance that you thus regard it. If you cannot cooperate with him, but feel it your duty to hedge up every avenue whereby he may obtain means to make a success of his work. I wish to understand this. When souls take hold of the truth who are poor, but who desire to help in giving light to their poor brethren, he has no means that he can apply to help them in obtaining food, merely to sustain life, that they may engage in the work they long to do for others. What courage can he have to labor in such a field? If he remains there, it might be at the sacrifice of his life unless suitable help is furnished. What can one or two men do in such a field against the prevailing ignorance, depravity, and immorality? The colored people have been neglected because the vexed question of how to build a wall of distinction between the whites and the blacks has been in agitation. Some have thought it the best way to reach the white people first, for if we should labor for the colored people, we could do nothing for the white population. This is not the right position to assume. Christ's followers are to learn all about the woes of the poor in their immediate vicinity and in their own country, be they white or black. The poor, friendless, untaught colored people need our assistance because they are ignorant and friendless. Those who have a dark, disagreeable life are the very ones whom we should bid to hope because Christ is their Savior. God has jewels in the rough, and his true followers will find them. All who possess the Spirit of Christ will have a tender, sympathetic heart and an open, generous hand. Those who press close to the bleeding side of Christ will have the Spirit of Christ and a nature that will be quickly responsive to his call. They will work to relieve the necessities of suffering humanity as Christ worked, while, before the world fallen, the world's unfallen, and all the heavenly host, he was representing the ways and works of God. In the life of Christ, we see what a Christian can do in relieving the distressed, binding up their physical and spiritual wants. Among the colored people, many, even of those who profess to be Christians, are sadly ignorant, not only of Bible doctrines but of Christian principles. Their religion is mingled with earthliness and sensuality. Justice and mercy and the love of God demand that those who have learned of Christ should impart to the very ones in the greatest need. The light is to shine forth amid the corruptions that will be found in the southern field. 5. 1895, pages 6, 7, 10, 11, 15, 16, 17, 21 to 23. To my brethren in responsible positions in America, July 24th, 1895. The colored race have been passed by with some deplorable expressions of regret, but with eyes fastened on the more promising fields nigh their own strong borders. Suppose God's people shall lift up their eyes and look on destitute fields that have not been worked. The missionary spirit must prevail if we individually shall form characters after the pattern, Christ Jesus. The colored people have souls to save. They are our neighbors in the sight of God, and we cannot merely look and deplore the discouraging appearance of the field and pass by on the other side. We must unitedly take hold and interestedly seek to work the field. We are not only to look, but we are to go in and reap. It is those in the most need that God calls us to consider and help. As workers together with God, we are to engage in labor. We are not only to pity the southern people, but we are to help them as they shall need help. There is no time to be lost. My children, you will meet with deplorable ignorance. Why? Because the souls that were kept in bondage were taught to do exactly the will of those who called them their property and held them as slaves. They were kept in ignorance and were untaught. Thousands of them do not know how to read. Their teachers are, many of them, corrupt in character, and they read the scriptures to fulfill their own purposes, to degrade in life and practice. They are taught that they must not think or judge for themselves, but their ministers must judge for them. In their teaching, the divine plan has been covered up by a mass of rubbish and falsehood and perversion of the scriptures. This is a favorable field for the working of seducing spirits, and they will have success because of the ignorance of the human minds so long trammeled and abused as their bodies have been. The whole system of slavery was originated by Satan, the tyrant over human beings, whenever the opportunity offers for him to oppress. Whenever he can get the chance, he ruins. Now there are those who are intelligent. Many have had no chance who might have manifested decided ability if they had been blessed with opportunities such as their more favored brethren, the white people, have had. But thousands may now be uplifted and become human agents to help their own colored race, if they can receive the help God requires to be given them. The mixing up of things sacred with things carnal, the conforming of the church to the world, the making of laws to bind the consciences of those whom God has made free, all this, done through secular influences, will be the masterly working of satanic agencies in cruel imprisonments. And the human agent exercising a power over the religious faith and conscience of his fellow men will hinder many poor, timid, ignorant souls from doing the will of God. But many will be taught of God. They will learn aright from Jesus Christ. They have been more slow to learn lessons relating to religious liberty because of the attitude that man has assumed toward his fellow men, calling men his property. Imperfect discernment exists still in many minds in reference to their own God-given rights. One finite human being compelling another to do his will, claiming to be mind and judgment for another. This sentiment, that has Satan for its originator, has presented a history, terrible, horrible in oppression, tortures, and bloodshed. Man is God's property by creation and redemption, but man has been demanding the right to compel the consciences of men. Prejudices, passions, satanic attributes have revealed themselves in men as they have exercised their powers against their fellow men. All is written, all, every injustice, every harm, every fraudulent action, every pang of anguish caused in physical suffering, is written in the books of heaven as done to Jesus Christ, who has purchased man at an infinite price, even his own life. All who treat his property with cruelty are charged with doing it to Jesus Christ in the person of his heritage, who are his by all the claims of creation and redemption. And while we are seeking to help the very ones who need help, we are registered as doing the same to Christ. A correct knowledge of the Scripture would make men fear and tremble for their future, for every work will be brought into review before God, and they will receive their punishment according as their works have been. God will give to the faithful and true patience under trial. How little of the Spirit of Christ has been manifested in the treatment given to the colored race in this so-called Christian country. The Negro's color, the features that tell of his African descent, are a badge of humiliation to the whole race because of the prejudice of the white people against them. They are often treated as if it were a disgrace to sit by their side, or even to worship in the same congregation. There is a large class with white blood in their veins, and bearing in their faces only the slightest traces of African descent, whose lives are embittered by the prejudice against them, being stigmatized as unworthy to associate with the whites, even in the worship of God. It is a shame for Christians, who profess to be themselves redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, to take a position to make these men feel that the mark of a humiliated race is upon them, men standing in God's broad sunlight with mind and soul like other men, with as goodly a frame as has the best developed white man. There are keenly sensitive minds that brood long and intensely over the oppression suffered and the slights they are made to feel. Many become jealous, soured, embittered because of these prejudices, which make them feel every day that they are not like other men, not entitled even to worship God except in a prescribed manner. Even commiseration is humiliating, because it calls the sensitive mind to the misfortune that excites pity. Many who are not subdued and elevated and made strong in the love of the one Savior curse their fate and curse the white man and almost blaspheme God who made them. This need not be. They cannot help their color. Cannot the children of God see that in conceding to the prejudice against the color of race, they are giving their influence to sanction a long course of neglect, of insult, or oppression? Will not the Lord call those to account who have had a part in this work? Is it not time for us to live so fully in the light of God's countenance, we who receive so many favors from Him, that we may know how to treat those less favored, not working from the world's standpoint, but from the Bible standpoint? Is it not right in this line that Christian effort is most needed? Is it not here that our influence should be brought to bear against the prevailing customs and practices of the world? Should not it be the work of the white people to elevate the standard of character among the colored race, to teach them how Christians should live by exemplifying the Spirit of Christ, showing that we are one brotherhood? I do not know, Edson, how many things ought to be said and how many things should be left unsaid. I know you have had a hard time. I know that you are in a difficult and a most dangerous field, made thus because of the prejudice of the whites against the blacks, and because our brethren have not interested themselves personally in that field to decide how it should be worked. Our brethren do not yet have correct ideas, and they button up their coats over their hearts, hearts that should go out in sympathy and tenderness and encouragement to the laborers in that poor, destitute, neglected field. It was presented to me that God in His providence was measuring the temple and the worshipers therein. There are those who, in the providence of God, have been placed in positions where they have received many blessings. With self-denial and self-sacrifice, these could do a good work in imparting to the most needy and suffering ones, to those who have few blessings and but little encouragement. This is a work which God has laid upon every saint to do, and for the neglect of which they will be held accountable. The Lord marks the longing of many souls for privileges that they might become better informed and better clothed. The angels of the Lord are looking to see what testimony they can carry to the courts above of this suffering class. Oh, that those who have so many comforts of life would deny self, take up the cross, and follow Jesus. Human beings in their suffering humanity are crying unto God, and their prayers are just as surely coming up before God as did the blood of Abel. Christ-like men will not employ their time in devising to profit self and promote their own interest. God is not indifferent to the pressing need of white or black in any place, wherever they may be. Who is saying, "Be thou warmed, and be thou clothed and fed," yet do nothing to relieve the situation? The indiscriminate almsgiving is often more injurious than helpful. It often encourages idleness and destroys self-respect. In the southern field, small churches are to be built. If they are burned, this act will stand as a witness against the men who oppose the work of God when the judgment shall sit and the books be opened, and everyone judged according to the deeds written in the books. I am glad and thankful for this step taken by Brother Smouse. If the work is made dangerous in one place, go to another and labor. But move discreetly, so that the work shall not be destroyed. Our responsible men stand in need of the Holy Spirit's power. To send men who are rash and inconsiderate into the southern field will be to create a prejudice and hatred that will come from the opposing whites and blacks. Ministers who teach the blacks will report a tissue of lies concerning the work of God, which will give the southern people a supposed excuse to create mobs, and thus the field will be closed. Said Christ, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep among wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." I inquire of my brethren, what are you doing for the colored people, who, as it were, are in the very shadow of your doors? Why do not your enterprises embrace those who have suffered so greatly through oppression? God claims of our brethren in America much more than they render to Him in service. They are to work in behalf of those who cannot help themselves. Christ declared, "If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." He is doing this work, but He calls upon old and young, men, women, and youth, to cooperate with Him. While Christ draws, those who have tasted of the word of life must draw with Christ. Human instrumentalities must cooperate with the divine intelligences. 101, 1898, 1. General Manuscript, Draw with Christ, dated August 23, 1898. The Southern field has been presented to me as a difficult field to work because of the white people who have the slave master's spirit with the slave master's cruelty in exercising the same, as if the blacks were no more than beasts, and to be treated worse than the dumb animals because they are in the form of man, having the marks of the black, Negro race. My mind is much troubled over the position some of our brethren are taking in regard to the work in the Southern states. One point is strongly impressed on my mind. Those who labor in that field will have to work in different lines in some respects. They must be very cautious. Let no rash moves be made. Our methods of working must be carefully and prayerfully considered. A crisis is just before Seventh-day Adventists, and the Lord would not have any of us be presumptuous and invite persecution. The question has been asked, should not the workers in the Southern field work on Sunday? This should not be made a rule among the believers in the South. Let the workers seek counsel of God. He has promised, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. But let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. It will not do to encourage the people to do manual work on Sunday. The colored people may work on Sunday, as on other days of the week before the Sabbath truth is brought to them. But if they do this after they have accepted the truth, they will be noticed and condemned. Prejudice is strong in the South, and in presenting the Sabbath, great care should be taken. The people will soon learn all you believe. Educate the people in the simplest manner, and make no great stir about it. Use every precaution, lest you be cut off from your work. The spirit which has held the colored people so long in slavery is alive today. And among the whites, there are those who will work in every possible way against that which has a tendency to uplift the colored people. If you would make the Southern whites and the colored people your friends, you must meet them where they are, not to act as they act, to sin as they sin, but to present the truth to them in your daily life. This people must be taught as you would teach children their alphabet. The truth must be brought before them by presenting to them the lessons of Christ in their simplicity. By unwise words, the colored people will be led to think that they can defy their oppressors. Therefore, we must avoid stirring up their excitable natures. Speak no word that will prejudice the Negroes against the whites. Satan is seeking for opportunities to work these ignorant, passionate colored people by causing them to misunderstand the motives of the white people in laboring for them. Let no spirit of resistance be encouraged. Teach the people to conform in all things to the laws of their state when they can do so without conflicting with the law of God. Counsel needs to be very guardedly given, for unless you are as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves, your way will be hedged up. We are to be kind and courteous to all, but especially are we to be pitiful and tender toward the unfortunate, as are the African race. God calls upon Christians, high or low, to represent Christ in their treatment of the colored people. God calls for his workers to consecrate themselves to the cause of justice and reform. Let the colored people be treated as human beings. Let them be uplifted. The youth should be educated to become missionaries among their own people. The age in which we live calls for decided reformatory action, but wisdom must be exercised in dealing with the race that has so long been degraded and abused. That which is now undertaken cannot be carried forward as it might have been had the white churches at the time of the abolition of slavery acted as Christ would have done in their place. They should have begun for these degraded multitudes the work of uplifting, seeking to correct the degrading habits taught them by the example of the whites. As a nation, we have been guilty of a great wrong. In the judgment, the charge of neglect will fall with heavy weight upon those who claim to be Christians. But we have left millions of people, men, women, and children, to become more and more depraved. In comparison with the great need, there has been very little outlay of means to improve them by teaching them the knowledge of God. After being deprived of their rights, and for generations treated like cattle, they have been deprived of the means of bettering their condition. Virtually, they have been left in heathenism, when they might have been helped to educate and elevate themselves. Their color has closed to them almost every possible avenue to improvement. There have been exceptions, but as a people they have received little labor and have had little inducement to mental or moral improvement. God will soon take this matter in hand. He will judge the nation for their neglect and abuse of his creatures. The colored people have had before them the example of commonness and adultery. These evils are all through our world, but when the poor, wretched, ignorant race, who know scarcely anything of purity and righteousness, do commit sin, sin that committed by white people is scarcely condemned, colored people are tortured to death, whether proved guilty or not. And the nation that permits this bears the name of Christian. God says, "Shall I not judge for these things?" It will be much harder to help the colored people now than immediately after their emancipation from slavery. Then was the time to show that freedom was given them, that they might have the advantages of education. Among the colored people, as among the white people, there is need of special instruction under judicious teachers who can discern how to plan the work. Some have talents of no ordinary character, and they need to be removed from the society they are in and placed in good surroundings. Every effort should be made to encourage conscientiousness, to show what it means to do service for God. Patiently, in the Spirit of Christ, these people should be educated to do a work for God as missionaries to their own race. God will endow men with capabilities for this work. They will learn that the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. There is evidence that God is at work among the downtrodden race. We want the evidence that God is at work among professed Christians, who have the advantages of a white skin. Would that they might respond to the Lord's favors and reveal that they have the advantage of far higher estimate in his sight, the advantage of a pure, white soul, a soul washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. In regard to the question of caste and color, nothing would be gained by making a decided distinction, but the Spirit of God would be grieved. We are all supposed to be preparing for the same heaven. We have the same Heavenly Father and the same Redeemer, who loved us and gave himself for us all without any distinction. We are nearing the close of this earth's history, and it does not become any child of God to have a proud, haughty heart and turn from any soul who loves God, or to cease to labor for any soul for whom Christ has died. When the love of Christ is cherished in the heart as it should be, when the sweet, subduing spirit of the love of God fills the soul temple, there will be no caste, no pride of nationality. No difference will be made because of the color of the skin. Each one will help the one who needs tender regard and consolation, of whatever nationality he may be. Ask yourselves if Christ would make any difference. In assembling his people, would he say, "Here, brother," or "Here, sister, your nationality is not Jewish, you are of a different class"? Would he say, "Those who are dark-skinned may file into the back seats, those of a lighter skin may come up to the front seats"? In one place, the proposition was made that a curtain be drawn between the colored people and the white people. I asked, would Jesus do that? This grieves the heart of Christ. The color of the skin is no criterion as to the value of the soul. By the mighty cleaver of truth, we have all been quarried out from the world. God has taken us, all classes, all nations, all languages, all nationalities, and brought us into his workshop to be prepared for his temple. The Lord is grieved at the indifference manifested by his professed followers toward the ignorant and oppressed colored people. If our people had taken up this work at the close of the Civil War, their faithful labor would have done much to prevent the present condition of suffering and sin. 37A, 1900, page 2. To Board of Managers of the Review and Herald Office, February 26, 1900. I have received the last two copies of the Gospel Herald. I have been expecting things to go as they have done in the southern field, and I have felt intensely that decided work should be done. You must not fail or be discouraged. The Lord understands all about the difficulties. Try to do your very best. This is all the Lord requires of you. He has accepted your labors of love for the downtrodden African race, and if the fields you have tried so hard to work have been closed to you, may the Lord have compassion upon those who have given the work so little attention except to criticize. They closed their eyes to the situation after the warning was distinctly given that things would be as they are now. The only thing now to be done for the closed field is for those who have refused to be impressed with their duty to change this terrible phase of their conduct. It is possible that something may yet be done. Those who have passed by on the other side might better do their duty now in regard to the southern field. The light given me is that, had they at the right time done the work the Lord gave them to do for the class in such great need of help, the voice of entreaty and instruction from the Lord would have been heard, and the showing in the southern field would be very different from what it now is. At the different places which I have visited lately, I have gathered some money for your work. I wish you would send me the amount you have received, so that if all has not been sent, I may write in regard to it. In every meeting we have attended, there have been necessities that had to be met, and sometimes so many calls were made that I hardly dared to put in my plea. Nevertheless, I will do my best to help you. I might hire money, or perhaps get the loan of some without interest. Keep me informed as to your work. Dear brethren in Denver, you ask in regard to the wisdom of placing a colored brother as superintendent of your Sabbath school. There are reasons why this would not be advisable. For the spiritual good of the brother, this should not be done. And if continued, it would prove a detriment to the Sabbath school. In many minds, there is a strong prejudice against the colored people, and as a result of such a move, constant difficulties would arise, which would hinder the growth and advancement of the school. From the light that has been given me for years in the past, I know that all would not show to a colored man the respect which, for the good of a Sabbath school, should be shown to the superintendent. Colored men are inclined to think that they are fitted to labor for white people, when they should devote themselves to doing missionary work among the colored people. There is plenty of room for intelligent colored men to labor for their own people. Let those colored men who are fitted for the position of superintendent in a Sabbath school remember that they may do a much-needed work by establishing Sunday schools and Sabbath schools among the colored people. The field is opening in the southern states, and wise, Christian colored men will be called to the work. But for several reasons, white men must be chosen as leaders. Could not a school be established in Denver where the colored youth could be taught by teachers whose hearts are filled with love for souls? The most decided efforts should be made to train and educate colored workers to labor as missionaries in the southern states. Christian colored students should be prepared to give the truth to their own race. There is much work to be done in the southern field. Special efforts are to be made in the large cities of the south. White laborers are needed who will enter the southern field and work so wisely that many, not only of the colored people but of the white people also, will be converted. I called for means here for the work in the South, and it seemed almost like stealing, for they are trying to gather means to establish a sanitarium somewhere near Los Angeles. It was on Sunday afternoon that I made an appeal for your work. $90 were raised. I told the people just a little of what you are trying to do in Nashville. I told them I felt perfectly free to call upon the trustees of the Lord's money to help in that needy field. I asked them to be God's helping hand by giving their means to advance His work. I called upon believers and unbelievers to do something for Christ's sake. We may get something from this appeal. The Lord give you all courage to work on in the southern field. I call upon you all to have faith in God. I am sorry, so sorry that you have to be delayed in your work. There is plenty of money in the hands of the Lord's stewards. Will men continue to cherish selfishness? Will this great evil never be completely eradicated? Will it be allowed to grow into idolatry, deforming those whom the Lord has called to cooperate with Him? In the eyes of the Lord, the southern field is a most distressing spectacle, a deformity in the midst of a Christian nation, bearing testimony before angels and before men to the neglect of a people who might be helped were it not for the selfishness and covetousness of professing Christians, who will be called to account for their neglect in the day when every man is judged according to his works. The colored people of the South, who have been left in degradation, will then bear witness against the Christian world. The Lord is watching to see whether those who have had great light, before whom the needs of the southern field have been kept, will now rally and do their appointed work. In their determination to meet the people where they were, the pioneers of successful work among the colored people were obliged to teach old and young how to read. This was a laborious task. They had to provide food and clothing for the needy. They had to speak comforting words to the downcast. Those who, after a day's work, walked miles to attend night school needed sympathy. The teachers had to adapt their instruction to many varied minds. Angels of God looked on with approval. The workers had God's commendation. Many times the plans laid to drive them out of the field were frustrated by His providence. 119-1902, page 5. Written to my brethren bearing responsibilities in the Southern Union Conference, June 28, 1902. I realize that the first thing I ought to do is to prepare matter for the books that should be brought out. But there are other things that I must do. The attitude of some of my brethren in regard to the southern field, and the reports that are being circulated, reports that I know to be untrue, make it necessary for me to take up this matter. I can no longer allow false impressions to be made, without saying what I know to be the truth. I shall publish in book form what I have written in regard to the work in the southern field. I shall no longer handle this matter with the tips of my fingers. Our people shall have in book form the facts of the history of the work in the South. When this book is out, I shall know that I have done my part to undeceive minds. I have considered that which you have written in regard to your boat being fitted up and used as a missionary agency to convey workers to places that otherwise they could not reach. I have been shown how when you first went to the southern field, you used this boat as your home and as a place on which to receive the people. The novelty of the idea excited curiosity, and many came to see and to hear. I know that through the agency of this boat, places have been reached where the light of truth had never shone, places represented to me as the hedges. It has been the means of sowing the seeds of truth in many hearts, and many souls have first seen the light of truth while on this boat. On it, angel feet have trodden. Yet I would have you consider the dangers, as well as the advantages, of this line of work. The greatest caution will need to be exercised by all who enter the southern field. They are not to be ready to trust to unchristian feelings or prejudices. The truth is to be proclaimed. Christ is to be uplifted as the Savior of mankind. But unless men of extreme caution, men who trust in the Lord, knowing that they will be kept by His power, are chosen as leaders and burden-bearers, the efforts of the workers will be in vain. The brethren are to consider all these things and then move forward in faith. I am sending you today another manuscript on the color question. I wish to say, however, that I have not finished writing on this subject. I think that the less this subject is agitated, the better it will be. If it is much agitated, difficulties will be aroused that will take much precious time to adjust. We cannot lay down a definite line to be followed in dealing with this subject. In different places and under different circumstances, the subject will need to be handled differently. In the South, where the race prejudice is so strong, we could do nothing in presenting the truth were we to deal with the color line question as we can deal with it in the North. This subject should be as little agitated as possible. We are to do as the Spirit of the Lord shall dictate. As we are led and controlled by the Spirit of God, we shall find that this matter will adjust itself. The white workers in the South will have to move in a way that will enable them to gain access to the white people. I wish that it were possible to leave the color line alone until the truth can be presented in the South. I think I have already written that the colored people should not urge that they be placed on an equality with white people.
There is a great work before us.
The enemy has succeeded in occupying the minds of those who believe the truth for this time, and hindrance after hindrance has been placed in the way of the advancement of God's work. The work in the southern field should be 15 years in advance of what it now is. Warning after warning has been given, saying that the time to work the southern field was fast passing, and that soon this field would be much more difficult to work. It will be more difficult in the future than it is today. Satanic agencies are becoming more determined in their rebellion against God. The trade unions will be the cause of the most terrible violence that has ever been seen among human beings. But I am free to say that the Lord does not call upon me to take upon myself the burden of doing pioneer work in a place where there have been Sabbath keepers for years, and where there are two classes of believers, white and colored. We had some experiences at St. Louis that I can never think of without a feeling of dread. Yesterday I had a visit from Elder Sheaf, who has charge of the church here in which both white and colored people assemble. He came to ask me to speak in this church next Sabbath. He will invite the members of the colored church to be present. Some little difficulty in regard to the color line exists here, but we hope that by the grace of God things will be kept in peace. Under the labors of Elder Sheaf, many colored people in this city have accepted the truth. 16 were baptized the Sabbath before last, and 7 last Sabbath. I was only too glad to promise that I would speak in the church next Sabbath. We need, oh so much, colored workers to labor for their own people, in places where it would not be safe for white people to labor. White workers can labor in places where the prejudice is not so strong. This is why we have established our printing office in Nashville. In and near Nashville, there are large institutions for the education of the colored people. The men who established these institutions have opened the way for us to give the light of present truth to these people. Students, there is a work for you to do. You can labor where we cannot, in places where the existing prejudice forbids us to labor. Christ left Jerusalem in order to save his life. It is our duty to take care of our lives for Christ's sake. We are not to place ourselves unbidden in danger because he wants us to live to teach and help others. God wants the colored students before me today to be his helping hand in reaching souls in many places where white workers cannot labor. He wants them to have an intelligence so sharp and clear that they can grasp the most precious truths, and in the simplicity of Christ, present these truths to those who have never heard them. I shall not tell you whether you will be white or black in heaven. I know that you will be just what God wants you to be. I am speaking to the colored students here today because I want to encourage them. They have a battle to fight. They have a strong prejudice to work against. If they will do this righteously and patiently, not cherishing the feelings that they are misused, God will greatly bless them. 60, 1904, 4, 5, 7, 8. From a talk given at Huntsville, Alabama, June 21, 1904. The Huntsville School greatly needs additional buildings. It ought to be fitted up for the accommodation of 100 students who are to be trained as teachers of their own race. A small building in which the students can be taught to care for the sick should be put up near the school. The students are to be carefully disciplined. They are to be given a thorough education, an education that will fit them to teach others. As soon as possible, they are to be prepared for service. The young men who attend school should be taught how to put up buildings and how to cultivate the soil. At present, white teachers can take part in the work of this school, educating and training the students. But soon it will be impossible for them to do this. Let us make earnest efforts to help this school to act its part now, while the way is still open. At present, there are no outside opposing influences to hinder its progress. Tomorrow afternoon I am to speak again in the tent at the Los Angeles camp meeting, and I shall try to present the needs of the work that is being done for the colored people, and will give those present an opportunity to help forward this work. I am sure that those who are working for the colored people need all the means that can be sent them. I am glad that money is to be raised by a general contribution, for this gives all the opportunity of receiving the blessing that comes from giving. I spoke at Hanford especially of the needs of the southern field, and Willie also took great pains at each meeting to bring this work before the minds of the people. Dear brethren and sisters, I ask you, what are you doing as individuals to benefit the colored people? Are you engaged in personal missionary work? As a church, what are you doing to provide a suitable sanitarium for the colored race? In the night season, I received counsel from one who never errs. I heard some who spoke in favor of purchasing the dark, unhealthful place now used as a sanitarium, putting in some improvements, and continuing the work in the same place. Decided instruction was given. You are not to carry out the plans you contemplate. The present situation of the colored sanitarium is very objectionable. Let some place be secured where there is plenty of sunlight and where there is land to raise fruit and vegetables. Let the sanitarium be moved to a suitable location and so equipped that the better class of colored people may be accommodated and may be favorably impressed. For some time I have considered that the place which J.E. White left, Edgefield Junction, near Madison, Tennessee, is the proper place for the establishment of a colored sanitarium. I hope that our brethren will see the necessity of making this move, for it is sensible, merciful, and consistent. The present showing of neglect of the colored people must be changed. The fact that someone of our brethren is located on or near the property is not a sufficient excuse for not securing it for a colored sanitarium. For anyone to urge merely a personal consideration against such a move is a sign of selfishness and shows a disregard of the Lord's plans. Far better would it be to repay what such a one had invested than to permit the enterprise to be blocked by such an excuse. Will our brethren and sisters in Nashville consider that they are being tested and tried? Some who have neglected to do the work that should have been done long ago are in heaven accounted as unfaithful stewards. A more decided interest should be manifested in the work of helping the colored people. If in the future we are to do nothing more for the colored people than we have done in the past, let us lay aside all pretense that we have entered Nashville for the purpose of helping them. If the interest we have taken in helping those who are laboring in the South is to have no better results, we had better turn our attention to the opening of the work in new fields until the converting power of God comes upon the church in Nashville and barriers are removed. The Lord is not pleased with the present showing. Let there now be a reformation, and the Lord will work with those who are willing to cooperate with Him. The men whom God has called to act a part in the work in the southern field need closely to examine themselves in the light of God's Word. From the example of Christ, they need to learn to manifest kindness and tender sympathy for those who are afflicted or who are laboring in hard and trying places. Those who are connected with the work of God should be ministers of healing. 119, 1905, pages 1 to 3. To the members of the Nashville Church, April 14, 1905. I have just received and read your letter, in which you tell me about your visits to the colleges in Nashville. I am so glad that you are beginning to understand why our work should be located in Nashville. A wise interest should be manifested for the colored people. Brother Washburn, you and your co-laborers should ever bear in mind that you are in a missionary field where a grand, all-round work is to be done for God. The heathen are right about you. Should you follow the course that has been pursued in the past toward the colored people, you would not fulfill your duty. The Lord calls for missionary work to be done. Those who make the South their field of labor are not to perpetuate the prejudice that has existed in the past against the colored people. They are not to pass them by with little or no attention. The teachers of the truth are to labor for this neglected race, and by their efforts win the respect, not only of the colored people, but of the workers in other denominations. May the Lord bless you in this work, is my earnest prayer. I hope you will follow up the work begun in Nashville, for there is much to be done for all classes in that city. Do not forget that there is an important work to be done in the schools for the colored people in that city. Give special attention to the colleges established there. Much labor has been expended in educational lines of work by other denominations. We must not treat the colored people as if God had no message for them. become acquainted with the teachers. Encourage them in their work, and take a part with them in their labors when this is possible. The gospel, in its simplicity, is to be presented to this people. If you will labor in the Spirit of Christ, conversions to the truth will be the result of this work. One of the strong reasons presented to me why our office of publication should be established at Nashville was that through our publications, the light of truth might shine to the teachers and students in these institutions. I expected long ago to hear that this work had been undertaken. Recently, light again came to me, instructing me that decided efforts should be made in an honorable way to get into the ranks of the students in these schools, and by gaining the confidence of the white teachers, get permission to give them talks on missionary subjects. It was because of the existence of these large institutions of education in Nashville that I was shown that this city was the most favorable place in which to open up our work in the southern field. There has been a sad failure to take advantage of circumstances. The attention of statesmen is being called to the condition of the colored people, and by some, the national laws are being studied in the light of Bible requirements. Ere long, we are to have a closer view of the conflict that is before us. The workers in our institutions, the members of our churches, should now be cleansing from their lives every wrong principle, that they may be prepared to meet the emergency when it comes. The cities of the South have been long neglected. Light that has been given me in the past has been repeated, concerning the work to be done in New Orleans, in Memphis, and other cities. Yet how little has been done? I encouraged Brother Washburn to feel that if the call came for him to engage in ministerial work for these needy cities, he should regard it as the call of the Lord to him. Brother Staines has purchased land near to Nashville, where he is erecting a school for the colored people. This will answer the present needs until the way is made more plain. It would not be wise to start too many enterprises at one time, and then find ourselves unable to carry them successfully. The Huntsville School must be finished, and students from that place fitted to take hold of the work of educating their own people. Some time ago, I had light that you should become acquainted with the work that is being done by the large educational institutions for the colored people in Nashville. When the work was first opened in Nashville, I was deeply anxious that our workers should become familiar with the workings of these schools, and that they should make special efforts to become acquainted with the teachers and learn from them their methods of working. Again and again, I have been instructed that some of our youth should be encouraged to attend these schools and exert an influence for the truth as they mingle with the students and teachers in their classes. I still urge that this be done. I have repeatedly stated that one of the reasons that we were led to select Nashville as a suitable center for our work in the South was because of the location of the large schools there for the colored people. As our brethren become acquainted with the methods of work in these colored schools, they will learn much regarding how to sow successfully the seeds of truth in the hearts of these people. This was clearly presented to me when we first entered the city of Nashville. Some of those in the Madison School should keep always the object in view of learning the best methods of educating the colored people. There is a work to be done for both the white and the colored people in Washington and in the neighboring states. Many obstacles will arise to retard this work. Inconsiderate or premature movements would bring no real satisfaction and would make it far more difficult to carry forward any line of work for the colored people. The work in behalf of this people has been sadly neglected, and the powers of darkness are prepared to work with intensity of effort against those who take up this work. From the light given me, I know that every injudicious movement made in or about Washington or in other parts of the southern field to encourage the sentiment that the white and the colored people are to associate together in social equality will mean more in retarding our work than any human mind can comprehend. There is too much at stake for human judgment to be followed in this matter. If the conference should say that no difference is to be recognized and no separation is to be made in church relationship between the white people and the colored people, our work with both races would be greatly hindered. If it should be recommended and generally practiced in all our Washington churches that white and black believers assemble in the same house of worship and be seated promiscuously in the building, many evils would be the result. Many would say that this should not be and must not be. But who will press the question of entire exclusion? Both white and colored people have the same Creator and are saved by the redeeming grace of the same Savior. Christ gave his life for all. He says to all, "Ye are bought with a price." God has marked out no color line, and men should move very guardedly lest we offend God. The Lord has not made two heavens, one for white people and one for colored people. There is but one heaven for the saved. 304, 1908, pages 2, 3. To our churches in Washington, D.C., October 19, 1908. Those white people who appreciate the ministry of Christ in their behalf cannot cherish prejudice against their colored brethren. Our colored brethren and sisters have a large work to do for their own people. I have been much pleased to see the work that Brother Staines is seeking to do at the Hillcrest School Farm. We saw at that place students who are preparing for the service of the Lord. The angels of heaven will surround these students as they seek to fit themselves for labor. The Lord is just as willing to help these students prepare for the work they have to do as He is to help the white students as they qualify themselves to labor for Christ. He is the willing Savior and helper of all. As this work is continued, we will find prejudice arise, and this will be manifested in various ways. But we must have wisdom to labor in such a way that we shall not lose the interest of either party, the white or the colored. 17, 1909, 2. From Sermon, April 25, 1909, in Nashville Colored Church. There is a work to be done in every place. We must seek to catch the very spirit of the message. There are colored people to be saved. Yesterday it was my privilege to speak to the colored people assembled in their neat little church in Nashville. A goodly company of colored people listened with marked attention to the words presented. These people did not have to do with their color. They are not accountable for the fact that they are not white, and how foolish it is for human beings that are dependent for every breath they draw to feel that we should have nothing to do with the colored people. We have a duty to perform toward them, and in the fear of God we are endeavoring to discharge this duty by providing in every possible way for them to hear the third angel's message and to fit themselves for proclaiming the truth to their own race. The Lord is working with us as we plan for the advancement of this portion of the Lord's vineyard. In past years, the colored people have been terribly neglected. The time is coming when we cannot easily give them the message. Restrictions will be placed about them to such an extent that it will be next to impossible to reach them. But at the present time, this is not the case, and we can go to many places where there are colored people and can open the scriptures to their understanding and lead them to accept the truths of God's Word. Christ will make the impression upon their hearts. There will be colored people there in heaven. Do you think that Christ has a separate apartment for them? Not at all. Heaven is broad and they come right in. They have labored to overcome their difficulties. They have proved faithful to the end. We must labor diligently to bring them to the position where they will recognize and accept the truth for this time. And then we must labor and plan to fit them up to work for others of their own race. By and by, it is going to be much harder than it is today to reach the colored people. Now is our opportunity to labor among them. By and by, there will be combinations of circumstances that will make it impossible for us to labor as we can now. And so we should try to improve every moment of our time in seeking to bring to a knowledge of the truth souls that are ready to perish, that they may at last have the crown of life with us. 15, 1909, 6, 7, 10, 15, 16. Talk to Madison teachers and students, April 26, 1909.